why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spasms,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So before we get into the show, I do have a quick word from our sponsors. So this month's sponsor is The Trendy Tripping. Trendy Tripping is a co-retailing space that allows artists, entrepreneurs, and startups the opportunity to showcase and sell their products without the risk of renting their own retail space. So if you want to learn more about The Trendy Tripping, then you can follow them on Instagram at Trendy Tripping, T-R-E-N-D-Y, Tripping, T-R-I-P-P-I-N-G. Now, guys, happy Valentine's Day. It is Valentine's Day 2019, and I know a lot of you are in your feelings today, but I will say this. I'm going to give a very special shout out to my singletons out there who find yourselves alone on Valentine's Day, but it is okay. It is okay, one, because I am with you, and two, because it's just another day. It's just another holiday. So, guys, please, really, you know, I mean, it's easier said than done. I don't know what your life has been like, but Valentine's Day is just another day. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, as you sit here and you watch everyone post about their special Valentines and the gifts that they've received, just remember this. Instagram is a liar and so is Facebook. And half of these relationships that people are like posting, he got me this, she got me that or whatever, they're probably a mess to begin with, right? So fake relationships, fake situations. And half of the gifts that you see being like posted on Instagram, like the box of flowers or the box of flowers, the flowers or the box of chocolates, were probably bought by a friend. So not a significant lover, or the individual went and bought them themselves just to stunt on the gram. So guys, let's not get caught up into the social media mass posting that we have experienced earlier today or that we're about to experience until, you know, the clock strikes 12 when Valentine's Day is officially over. Let's not get into our feelings. Instagram is a liar. We don't really know the truth behind these posts. So let's not let these posts put us down today, guys. All right. Now, some of you might be saying, oh, you know, maybe she's a little bitter, you know, but trust me, I am not bitter about this Valentine's Day situation, because if I wanted to participate in Valentine's Day 2019, I most certainly could. Let's not get it twisted. All right. It's just that, again, you know, people are flaunting their relationships. They're flaunting their box of chocolates. They're flaunting all of this stuff. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's not indicative of the health of their relationship. It's not indicative of the longevity of their relationship. You know, it's just a regular day. But I will say this, though. Now, here's the thing. Although I'm saying that it's a regular day, it's not that serious. We should not put so much emphasis on Valentine's Day, because our society does put a lot of emphasis on Valentine's Day. It's like in your face. Everywhere, right? And it's one of those things where people in themselves who are individuals in relationships really like, they're watching. So if you are in a relationship with somebody and you do not get them something for Valentine's Day, like the longevity of your relationship might be threatened, right? And it's like, the advice I would give to anybody who's in a long-term relationship, anybody who's in a committed relationship, anybody who's in a situationship even, right? Unless you had prior conversations with your significant other about the, you know, what to do on Valentine's Day. Like, do you guys celebrate Valentine's Day? Are you a Valentine's Day person? You know, I don't really want to get anything for Valentine's Day. Unless you've had prior conversations with your significant other about how you view Valentine's Day. And if you guys have come to a consensus together that you guys are not going to celebrate Valentine's Day, that's one thing. But if there have been no such talks, no such conversations about what to do on Valentine's Day, you need to have already gotten the box of chocolates. You need to have already gotten the flowers, the card, whatever. You need to have already gotten it. And if you have not gotten it, I know this show started at 7 p.m. Valentine's Day ends at the when the clock strikes 12. So you have a couple hours to run to your local CVS, to run to your local Walgreens. Those of you who live next to a Walmart, run to your Walmart and grab your ass a box of chocolates. Grab yourself a card, grab yourself some flowers, and present this gift before the clock strikes 12. Because I will guarantee you, if you are in any type of relationship and you have not decided between yourselves that Valentine's Day is not a thing, there will be group chats about you the next day on how you did not get anything for Valentine's. You did not take this individual out for Valentine's Day. There will be group chats. You might get the cold shoulder. Your relationship might be at risk. There might be a risk of a dismissal. And it sounds trivial and it sounds funny, but it's a thing. It's a thing. Because if you think about it, we as a society, we have been conditioned that Valentine's Day is important and that an exchange of some sort needs to happen on this day. If you could think about when you were in elementary school, right? When you were in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, as early as those years, what were we doing on Valentine's Day? We were writing little messages on little cards, right? With little candies attached to it. So some of these cards had a lollipop attached to it. And what were we trained to do? Give them to others. Exchange them with the opposite sex. Exchange them with friends. We were trained as children to engage in the gift giving on Valentine's Day. So this is part of the American culture. I'm not really sure what the culture is with Valentine's Day in other countries, like if they go to this extreme. But we've been taught since we were children that we need to exchange. We need to exchange gifts. And so if you think that as an adult in a loving or quote unquote loving relationship, or even like I said, a situationship, you've been dating for a couple of weeks. If you think that if Valentine's Day comes and you don't get that individual something, you are mistaken. You are very mistaken. And your relationship is 9 times out of 10 at risk. Okay. So now, the funny thing is, as I was gearing up for this week's episode, I was supposed to have a guest, but things happened. My guest did not come. So you're stuck with me today. But somebody was asking me questions about, you know, the show and what I plan to talk about. And one of the things they asked was, what are some of the funniest things you've heard with regards to Valentine's Day? So what are the funniest lines and stories men have told you to get out of Valentine's Day? And so I will say that I haven't celebrated that many Valentine's Days in my adult life, like, you know, my serious adult life. But there have been a few occasions where I've been talking to somebody around Valentine's Day and somehow they found their way out of the gift exchange and they found their way out of celebrating it all together, right? Now, again, for me, I'm not a big Valentine's Day person because I'm just like, give me gifts any time of the year. But at the end of the day, like I said before, if you aren't in some sort of relationship, it's just like Mother's Day. If I didn't get a card for Mother's Day from my child or, you know, or an acknowledgement from my son's father, I would feel some type of way. Like, it's Mother's Day. Although I'm a mother 365 days a year, somebody better tell me Happy Mother's Day, and I better be seeing a card or a flower somewhere. So it's kind of the same thing with Valentine's Day. If you're talking to somebody, you're going to expect them to acknowledge it, right? Not just in words, but in gifts, in acts, right? So I would say, so one of the, I remember one guy I was dating a couple of years ago. He sent a message. I remember him texting early in the morning, "Happy Valentine's Day," right? And so I'm like, "Oh, cool, Happy Valentine's Day." But without me even like soliciting any questions or response or anything from him or asking him anything, he just jumps in with the excuses. So he tells me happy Thanksgiving, guys. I'm tired. Happy Valentine's Day, and I say, "Oh, cool, thanks." I didn't say happy Valentine's Day. Hey, so what we doing later? What are you getting me? What can I expect? Are you gonna surprise me? I didn't say any of that. He said, "Happy Valentine's Day." I said, "Happy Valentine's Day to you too. Thank you." And then instantly he's like, "Yeah, I got a lot of things going on today. You know, I got to like drive my mom to like the doctor. And then after that, later on, I have like this meeting that I have to attend. And then I got to do X, Y, and Z." And I'm just sitting here just like, "My dude, If you don't have to give me a myriad of excuses, right, as to why you will be unavailable on this day that happens to be Valentine's Day. Because I don't get these excuses on regular days when, you know, we were supposed to hang out and you didn't hang out or whatever the case is. Unsolicited excuses as to why you are unavailable on Valentine's Day. This is what I was getting. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. I got like a laundry list of reasons as to why I should not expect him to do anything for me because he has a million and one things to do, right? And what I realize is that, you know, guys, they know that Valentine's Day is a big deal to most women, and that even for the women who it's not like so much of a big deal for, there's an expectation that if you're talking to somebody that you're going to get some sort of like, you know, acknowledgement in the form of a gift, right? Whether it be the card or the flowers or whatever, a box of chocolates, like it's known. Because nobody's asking you for a gift from Zales. You're getting a box of chocolate from the freaking, you know, corner store or whatever, right? But men know this. And so what they do, I think, a lot of times is they set it up because they are not trying to be the subject of the group chat on the next day. Because they know that if they don't, you know, get ahead of this Valentine's Day situation, that their relationship can be canceled, the situationship can be canceled. So they know this. So they have to set it up to kind of like cover themselves. Because at the end of the day, when Valentine's Day's over, I can be upset all I want. But, you know, if he's said that he has this laundry list of things to do, I mean, I haven't verified, I haven't fact checked. I know it's BS, but like, what do I look like jumping up and down and being upset? They also know that if I were to go and tell my friends, "Hey, you know," or when my friends ask me rather, what did you do for Valentine's Day? What did he get you for Valentine's Day? Where are you going for Valentine's Day? And I say that, "Oh, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. We didn't go anywhere." He knows that the group, the female group, the male group, or whatever group you have, is going to encourage you to drop this zero and get yourself a hero. So I feel like they try to set it up from like the moment, like they've already been planning their excuses. And the reason I say this is because another year when I was dating a guy, and this guy had actually dated him for a significant period of time. So it wasn't somebody that I dated for a couple of weeks. It was somebody I dated for like, I think at that point, it might've been like 6 months or something like that. And, you know, Valentine's Day came around. Happy Valentine's Day early in the morning, you know, happy Valentine's Day to you too, boo. And the excuses started rolling in. "Yeah, you know, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that." And it's like, I didn't even say anything. Like these excuses just like rolled off the tongue without any prompting from me. And so for me, I'm just like, okay, I see what it is. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm like, does it kill you to just get somebody a box of chocolates or to get somebody a flower or whatever it is? No, I mean, it doesn't kill you to do so. But that just goes to show you, like, and if these guys were to come out and say, listen, I don't celebrate it. I don't believe in it. I don't whatever. That's a different story. But you're just, I don't know. So that's one, you know, one way that guys have tried to get out of it. The other excuse that I've heard is it's a pagan holiday. I don't celebrate pagan holidays, so therefore I'm not celebrating, Valentine's Day. There is a horrible history behind Valentine's Day. It was a massacre, it was a slaughter, it was all this stuff. So it's pagan, I don't do it. Here's my response to that. If you truly believe that Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday and for that reason you are not celebrating it, I do not mind that at all, because you're being real. Who am I to, you know, trample and stomp on your beliefs? Again, because Valentine's Day is not really that serious. I'm not going to sit here and end a relationship because you don't celebrate pagan holidays. What I do not accept is you picking and choosing which pagan holidays you want to celebrate, right? So for those of us in the Christian world, or who know, or who have some sort of understanding of the Christian world, there are certain holidays that are considered pagan, right? So Christmas, they're considered pagan because of the pagan gods. I don't know if it's the 25th or the 24th of Christmas, like coincides with Jesus' birth. So people in the Christian world, some of them believe that Christmas is a pagan holiday. Some people believe that Easter is a pagan holiday. Halloween, obviously, pagan holiday. So a lot of these holidays that we openly celebrate, they're in the Christian world, there is a class of individuals who, or certain denominations, believe that those holidays are pagan and choose either not to celebrate them, or even if they are pagan, choose to celebrate, I guess, the significance that we put on them, like Christmas. You know, Jesus died, although we might not know when he actually died, but we take that time to celebrate him and whatnot, and gift give and share cheer around the world, whatever. So if you are an individual who does not celebrate pagan holidays, and that's why you're not getting me a Valentine's gift, I need you to also not celebrate Christmas. I also need you to also not celebrate Easter and all of the other pagan holidays. I find that a lot of men use this pagan holiday thing as a form of just, you know, covering their frugalness, right? So it's like they won't celebrate Christmas because there's a gift exchange that occurs there. They won't celebrate Valentine's Day because there's a gift exchange. But they have no issue celebrating Easter because there's no gift exchanging happening during the Easter season. Same thing for Halloween, which is, I mean, if we're talking about pagan holidays, I would say that that is probably the most pagan of them all. They're dressing up for the company Halloween party. But yet you told me that you don't celebrate pagan holidays, right? So some, I think that with that, it's linked to bank accounts. I find that people who are trying to be cheap and are not trying to spend any type of money, that is what they do. And so they will celebrate non-gift exchanging pagan holidays, but they will stay away from the gift exchange ones. So that's that. And then there's a class of people who use the excuse, well, it's a commercial holiday. You know, America's just trying to make a quick buck off of us. We're feeding into this American commercialism and all this extra stuff. Okay, fine. Again, you don't want to celebrate Valentine's Day because it's a commercial holiday. That's cool. I don't want to see you expecting gifts for Christmas. I don't want to see you expecting, you know, gifts or being a part of the July 4th sales, the Labor Day sales. I don't want to see you as a part of that because all of those are commercial holidays as well. So that's that. So, I mean, there are a myriad of excuses that people come up with. There's a lot of lines that people come up with when it comes to the Valentine's Day season. But it is what it is. Again, you know, it's a day that the world chooses to celebrate love and to acknowledge their loved ones, even though you should be doing that every single day. But I just think that, you know, those of us who are single out there, I mean, you know, love yourself, right? Love yourself, love your friend, be grateful that you have people in your life who do love you and just relish in that, you know? I think that with this Valentine's Day thing, like, I don't know, it's just gotten like spun out of control because now I heard, like, I think maybe like a year ago I heard of this, Singles Awareness Day. And I don't remember. I think Singles Awareness Day might be on February 15th, so the day after Valentine's Day. So there is a Single Awareness Day that I guess sprung out of people who felt like they were being left out of Valentine's Day because they did not have a significant other to, you know, showcase their love to. So this movement came out and created Singles Awareness Day, which I think is just ridiculous. I mean, there's no need for that. And then there's Galentine's Day. Galentine's Day, I could probably get behind that, right? So Galentine's Day, I think it might be the 12th or the 13th. It's around the Valentine's Day. And what Galentine's Day is pretty much the group of girls. I mean, I guess a group of guys too. I don't know. But a group of girls who are basically, it's like their celebration. It's like a pre-celebration of Valentine's Day. Because I guess the idea is on Valentine's Day, you're celebrating it with your significant other, you know. So this is like a pre-Valentine's Day celebration where you're with your gal pals. And so you could either do a girls trip or you go out to the movies or you exchange boxes of chocolates. But that's Galentine's Day. It's like a day to celebrate friendships, you know, and I can get behind that because I think that we don't celebrate each other. We don't celebrate as friends in that realm often enough. You know, we might hang out here and there, but I think having like an actual holiday for friends, I think that's pretty cool, you know. And every year I say I'm going to do this Galentine's Day thing and I never do, but I think that's pretty cool. But the Singles Awareness Day thing, I don't know. I think it's just a bit OD. I think it's just a little bit too much, but that is my spiel and my rant on Valentine's Day. I couldn't have my episode airing on Valentine's Day and say nothing about it, right? So now, with all that being said, it is time for our Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Popping on fleek, is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key!
It's time for the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
So, our Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, dun, 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 is Valentine's Day. So I have heard people pronounce Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day forever. I don't know if it's a black thing. I don't know. But apparently Valentine's Day has made the Urban Dictionary. So there are several definitions and I'll read just a couple of them. Valentine's Day, a romantic holiday which coincides with the more popularized Valentine's Day. The exact etymology is unknown, but it is often attributed to South Shore Guidos and small children with equal intelligence. Ooh, the shade. Now a colloquialism used by urbanites who use the term in jest to condescend those who aren't in on the joke. Example, Jersey, are you doing anything for Valentine's Day? Stephanie, do you mean Valentine's Day? Jersey, yeah, Valentine's Day. Jesse and I are hitting the club. It's gonna be cray. I'm wearing the shortest skirt. I think I have to freshen up my spray tan first. Stephanie, sounds great. Keep it classy, Jersey. I don't know, a little whack. Next one. The same thing as Valentine's Day. It is pronounced Valentine's Day by idiots that do not know the difference and use the M instead of the N, the illiterate way of saying Valentine's Day. Okay. All right. And the last one. The malpropism of Valentine's Day. Usually heard in the environment where strong cultural education is non-existent. Ooh. Okay, so what are you doing this year for Valentine's Day. All right, well, these examples were a little bit whack, but I do sense a lot of the shade, especially when it talked about urbanites. I'm wondering if they're talking about the Black community, because that's the only group of people I've ever heard use Valentine's Day as opposed to Valentine's Day. But either way, that was the word of the week. So now it's time for my favorite part of the show. You know what time it is. It is time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. So this week's big up of the week, it goes by the name of Kazi Manan. Kazi Manan is the owner of Sakina Halal Grill in Washington, D.C. So I was able to find this gem on Facebook. Somebody had reposted it. It happened maybe about what? Probably like a week ago. ABC 7 News went to this man's restaurant and interviewed him about a very special thing that he does. So Manan has been feeding homeless people for the last 5 years in his restaurant. And again, it's not the typical scenario where a restaurant owner will have the homeless people come by after closing hours and give them food, or tell them to come out back and they'll give them food. No. Mr. Manan is feeding homeless people in his restaurant while paying patrons are there. And so when ABC 7 News went in to do the news coverage, you actually saw homeless people coming up, asking for food, while other people, paying customers, are actually sitting down and eating. And so pretty much, you know, in the interview, Manan stated that, you know, he's been doing this for the last 5 years. And in 2018, which is just this past year, he approximately gave out about 16,000 hot meals to the homeless. So the homeless people in this community in Washington, D.C. come to his restaurant every day. And his motto is, if you're hungry and you're poor and you cannot afford a meal, you can eat here for free. And so literally the homeless people in the community come there every day and he hands them a plate of food. And he doesn't charge them because they don't have any money. And he doesn't ask them to, you know, do any cleanup services or anything. This is free 99 food. And if they want to sit and enjoy their food in the restaurant, he allows them to do so as well, too. So some of you might be thinking, this is probably a hole in the wall, some sort of like, you know, whatever, mom and pop joint. Well, this is actually considered a higher end restaurant in this area in Washington, D.C. So imagine, you know, sitting at a restaurant, eating your food, and then watching homeless people come in and get food. And because he's been doing this for so long, and he's so used to the homeless people who come in to get the food, you know, he and his staff knows their order by heart. And when I saw this, I was really touched by it because, again, you don't really hear too much of this going on. Like, you'll hear restaurants here and there maybe giving out food. But again, it's like a come out back, or we're going to set up a separate stand on a Saturday. It's very rare that I actually see a restaurant open its doors to homeless people to walk in and out while they have paying customers there eating and allowing them to stay and eat. It's not very often that I see something like this. And so, I mean, I thought it was really touching. I thought this was newsworthy for me. And, you know, when Manan was asked, you know, how does he keep his business alive while giving so much food away out for free? And he's just like, listen, you know, he credits it to God. You know, God is with him. God is assisting him. And, you know, he's able to do this because there are paying customers who are coming to the restaurant and paying for their meals. And so for him, he's like, I'm not requiring any donations. I don't ask for any donations. I just ask for, you know, my patrons to come in, pay for their food. And it's with that, you know, money that I'm able to keep the store afloat and to be able to, you know, provide hot meals for homeless people who need it every single day. And it's truly a blessing. And he actually talks about his experience when he first came to the United States from Pakistan in 1996. You know, he was walking around with $5 in his pocket and oftentimes did not have enough money to purchase a meal. So he remembered a time when he was in the position of these homeless people, and he decided that he was going to make it his mission to, you know, be able to provide for them as much as he can. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful when people, you know, draw upon their own experiences and give back to their community, because it gives their work much more meat, in my opinion, because he has a story. And it's true, what he said in the interview, that, you know, it could be anybody. And it's true. Like I can be one paycheck, two paychecks away from homelessness. It can be anyone at any time. So looking down on the homeless, you know, I don't know. I feel like with what he's doing, he's dignifying them in a sense, right? He's humanizing them, because he's not just saying, hey, come out back, let me give you this food, you beggar. He's just like, here, come and sit down in my restaurant and enjoy this food like a regular human being. And I think oftentimes when people give out charity or give out donations or provide, you know, assistance to the homeless, sometimes we do it, because I'll put me in that category as well too. Sometimes we do it in a way that's dehumanizing. You know, we help them, but it's like, we know you're begging, you know, here you beggar, here, you know, here you charity case, take this and you better like it. And I think that as we, those of us who are giving and who are doing things for our community, as we continue to do so, we should keep in mind that when we are giving and when we are helping, we should do so in a way that still humanizes the person and that does not degrade the person or devalue the person in any sense. And so my advice or my suggestion to all of you out there who are restaurateurs or who have plans on opening restaurants, you know, when, you know, try to create some sort of program or some sort of way to give back to the homeless. Like I had read some article that talked about how so many restaurants like just waste their food. They just waste. They just throw it all out at the end of the day. And we have high populations of homelessness, like especially in the metropolitan areas. If there was a way that these businesses, that these restaurants could just repurpose that food for the homeless, I mean, it would make a big change. Now, I know that there are some rules and regulations put in by the city, the health department or whatever, when it comes to that. But I would encourage, you know, all of you guys to look into trying to create programs and trying to create systems in which you can repurpose the food at the end of the day and, you know, give it out to the homeless or invite the homeless after hours. If you don't want the homeless in your restaurant while your patrons are there, you know, maybe two nights a week, you have these leftover foods that you know you're going to be throwing out. Maybe open up your restaurant, you know, in the evening hours or the wee morning hours or of the day, and have the homeless come in and, you know, sit down and eat their meal. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas here. But this article really touched me, and it really, you know, made me think about how it is that I give and how I can, you know, treat the homeless more humanely as I continue to give back to them. So big up to you, Kazi Manan, for your work in the community. And I look forward to hearing more. And I pray that your business prospers even more so than it is now. So now, with every high, you guys know there is a low. And this week's low, this week's womp womp of the week, I mean, everybody's talking about it, it's Gucci, right? Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. And I mean, I feel like there are a lot more womp womps that I can talk about. But the reason I want to talk about the Gucci thing is, one, everybody's talking about the Gucci thing. And everybody has their opinions about the Gucci thing. And I've been seeing so much going on social media that's like, boy, let's boycott Gucci. There's a boycott right now for Gucci. And the thing for me is, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this boycott, because is it really a boycott for us simpletons out here, for the regulars? And I say this because, and I put myself in it, meaning the non-celebrities, the non-millionaires, the non-money makers, right? Like, I have never owned anything Gucci in my life. Now, I am known for designer glasses, my eyewear, because I do not have 20/20 vision. And so I do rely on spectacles. I do rely on glasses and contacts to see. And for me, I like quality glasses. I like funky glasses. And so I will spend money on my glasses, but they last me like 10 years. So I will have, you know, a Dolce & Gabbana or whatever. I have never owned a Gucci anything. So my thing with the boycott is I don't own anything Gucci. I've never supported Gucci. So it's not really a boycott for me, because I don't have any intention in the next 5 years to ever purchase anything Gucci. Even if I had money like that, I would never spend $894 or $898, however much it was, to purchase a sweater. So the topic of today, or the womp womp issue, is that Gucci, like many other high-end brands as of late, has struck again when it comes to the racism, right? And they did so in the form of blackface. So blackface, for me, I think at one point I thought it might have just been a United States thing. It might have just been an American thing. But blackface is more like an international thing. Like, it's something that has been widespread. It's not just contained in the United States, right? So this blackface situation comes back again. Recently, we had Prada with their little figurines, their little bag clips that, you know, were in blackface. And they got a lot of backlash for that. But not too long after the Prada scandal, Gucci comes out with a blackface sweater. So basically, they, in the month of Black History Month, they decided to release a sweater that comes up to, like, under your nose, right? So, like, the collar comes up to your nose. And around the mouth area, there is a cutout with a thick red cartoon-like, like a cartoon-like lining around the mouth area. So that's in red, and then the sweater is in black. So as soon as you look at it, it reminds you of blackface. And so the community, of course, was up in arms. Like, are you effing kidding me, Gucci? What the hell are you thinking by doing this, right? So now, Gucci, of course, issues an apology, as they all do, right? So this apology, where is it? I'm sorry, guys. My thing is like all over the place. So yes. So Gucci basically issues this apology saying, "We consider diversity to be a fundamental value to be fully upheld, respected, and at the forefront of every decision we make." Lies.com. Gucci's statement then further reads, "We are fully committed to increasing diversity throughout our organization and turning this incident into a powerful learning moment for the Gucci team and beyond." Now, what annoys me with these types of apologies is it really genuine? Because what else would you do when everybody is up in arms and calls you out on your racism? Like, of course you're going to issue an apology. Like, you have to. Their PR person is like, if you don't, kiss Gucci goodbye. So I'm like, these apologies never really sit well with me, because I feel like they're forced. Like, you had no choice but to issue an apology and throw in buzzwords like diversity, and we're going to increase diversity amongst our staff. Like, do not be alarmed, or do not be shocked, rather, if Gucci then in the next couple of weeks hires a Black woman to be head of their diversity and inclusion, or diversity and marketing, or whatever title they want to give them, to show that they are committed to their word, right? It just really annoys me, because the other thing is also like, I mean, Black people, at least the celebrities, No, I would say black people in general, they support Gucci. You have people who are like the hood rich people who are spending their rent money on Gucci. They are spending, you know, they are you swiping that EBT card to get their Gucci belt, their Gucci bag, their Gucci shoes, like everything Gucci. You know what I mean? Like, it's in all of our rap songs. Like, the black community promotes Gucci like no other, because I don't hear the white community, I don't hear the Chinese community, I don't hear the Indian community singing about Gucci, rapping about Gucci, making speeches about Gucci in the way that the black community does. I don't know how many rap songs, I can list maybe five of them, that talk about Gucci, right? I mean, Gucci Man, like it's crazy. So we, whether it's with our, with, you know, whether people like you and me actually spend as much money in the Gucci stores, we definitely support them by, you know, free promotions, right? We are always singing about them. We are always rapping about them. Everybody's talking about them. The celebrities are even worse. I mean, you have people like Floyd Mayweather who spends 40 racks in the Gucci store in less than an hour. $40,000 in the Gucci store. Drops it, right? You have artists like Cardi B. You have artists like Nicki Minaj. I mean, all of the black artists are talking about Gucci and are rapping about Gucci. So Gucci is getting money from the black community. You have Soulja Boy, who has a tattoo of Gucci on his body. Like, black people are so obsessed with Gucci. And Gucci knows that the black community is obsessed with Gucci. And even with that, they still have the audacity to come out and disrespect us. Not just disrespect us, but like really degrade us in Black History Month. We are in Black History Month. They could not wait till March or April to release this sweater. First of all, the sweater is ugly. Second of all, I don't know who the hell is wearing this sweater. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the sweater costs $898. It doesn't make sense. But whatever, I digress. In Black History Month is when Gucci decides to release this hideous blackface sweater. And you want me to now accept an apology from you. Gucci is canceled. Gucci is canceled for me. I mean, I never supported Gucci, like I said, but Gucci is canceled for me because it's ridiculous. Now, some of you might say, wait a minute. You know, these are white people who are heads of these organizations. Maybe Gucci is not aware of blackface. Maybe Gucci did not think that this would offend black people. They just saw it as a sweater. They were just following trends, because for some reason, blackface is a trend now. Every, like, companies all over are creating blackface-esque type, you know, apparel. Like, Katy Perry actually had to recently pull a shoe that came out that had blackface. Like, it was like a blackface shoe. It had eyes and a nose and a red mouth. Like, on a shoe? It doesn't make sense to me where this obsession with blackface has come from. But it's here. And it's like in, it's like crazy in the fashion world and in the fashion industry. Like, who wants to have, who's buying a trinket to clip on their purse of blackface, like a little monkey with big red lips or whatever? Like, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I guess for me, I'm like, again, blackface and racism is not just relegated to the American society. It's something that is international. It's worldwide. So it's a little hard for me to believe that the CEOs and the heads of Gucci were not aware of blackface, were not aware that this particular thing could be offensive when they saw it on the model, right? So it's just a little hard for me to believe. I mean, when we're talking about the concept of like racism and likening black people to apes, that wasn't an American construct. That wasn't actually, that was a European construct. I don't remember if the scientist was from Germany, but I believe it either Germany or if he was Czech or whatever it was. But this whole theory that like black people descended from apes was not an American construct. Like this is something that came from Europe. So this whole like blackface and black people being likened to animals and whatnot and apes, this is something that came out from Europe and found its way, you know, to United States and to the rest of the world. So it's a little hard for me to believe that, you know, because they're not American, these CEOs and these, you know, top higher level executives, they're not American. They're operating out of the London office or the Dutch office or the French headquarters or the Italian headquarters, that they are like immune to any of this and that they have no idea that these things can be offensive. I don't think so. I believe that there is some sort of agenda behind it. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like there's some sort of agenda behind it. And that is why, you know, and that's what's manifesting, like, because it just doesn't make sense. Prada just got off of a scandal. Gucci doesn't know what Prada's doing. They're competitors. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't really accept Gucci's apology because I don't find it to be very genuine. But at the end of the day, I don't support them. And for all of you out there who are boycotting, I mean, I guess, but the boycott doesn't really have much effect because we're not spending our money in Gucci anyways. What I think would be very effective is for the celebrities to truly boycott Gucci. So if Floyd Mayweather would stop spending 40 racks in the Gucci store, maybe Gucci might feel it. If the Cardi B's, if the Nicki Minaj's, if the Little Kim's and all these other people who are always rapping and talking about Gucci, if they were to stop spending money in the Gucci store and maybe stop rapping about Gucci and stop talking about Gucci, maybe Gucci might say, oh, maybe let's really, like, you know, figure this out and let's really do something to not just say that we apologize, but to show them that we are remorseful and that we truly understand the errors of our ways and whatnot. I mean, I don't even know if I accept that, to be honest, because I think business is business and they'll say whatever they want to say just to get the people back. But it's truly sad that still in 2019, we have to deal with these types of blatant disrespects to the black community and the black culture. So that's why they get my womp womp of the week. So without further ado, I mean, we only have a couple of minutes left because I definitely went in on everything else on this show. But I did want to just address the post that I posted earlier this week on social media with regards to Serena Williams and hubbo Alexis Ohanian or Ohanian. I don't know. Whatever. Either way, so my Instagram was lit this week. It was lit on both my personal page and my According to RP page with you guys commenting on the post. Now, just to clarify and just to put it out there, Serena Williams did not state exactly that white men treat black women better. But she did state in an interview that was conducted a couple of years ago, it was during her engagement to Alexis, that, you know, she's dated black men, obviously. She's dated, we all know the black men that she's dated, but that out of all of that, Alexis, her white man, treats her better than any, treats her better than any black man that she has ever dated. So this was her, she was expressing her sentiment and her opinion and her feelings, right? I guess with respect to how she feels. And so, guys, some of you guys were coming in the comments like, where did you get this? This is fake news. Where are the sources? All this extra stuff. Guys, this is what the media does. This is not the first time you've seen a posting or you've seen a headline that was a little skewed. That's what the media does. The media takes what you say. They pick pieces because the statements are made. It's the way that they piece the words together to get you riled up, to get people to buy the magazine, to buy the newspaper, to click and, you know, pay for the article so that they can see what is going on here. That's what it is. So although she did not say those words specifically, you know, exactly in that order, she spoke about her white man treating her better than any black man that she's dated. Some of you guys were really pissed though at the fact that, you know, she said anything like that. And so I guess for me personally, you know, I don't have an issue with Serena dating white men or marrying a white man. To each his own. If that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. Everybody has their preference. I think the issue that I had with the Serena comment, and I don't even have that big of an issue of her saying that, you know what, Alexis treats her better than any black man that she's ever dated. I think the issue the somewhat issue I have with it is that people will take what they take from comments, right? And what I'm trying to say is that you and I, some of you listeners, might be able to read her statement and say, oh, okay, that's, you know, well, that's how she feels. I mean, she hasn't dated the best, you know, of the best when it comes to the black men anyway. So, you know, unfortunately, she had bad experiences dating French Montana and whatnot. And maybe, you know, because of the types of men that she's dated who happen to be black, you know, she found this white man who's treating her like gold, who's not about the drama or whatever. So, you know, she feels like he's treated her much better because she's been dealing with some rappers and whatnot who don't treat women, period. You know, who don't treat women good, period, whether it be white or black, right? But there is a good majority of people who will see that statement and will see that she is implying that white men treat black women better than, wait, white men treat black women better than black men. Some people will come to that conclusion. In fact, many people came to that conclusion. And I think what I would have preferred her to say was that, listen, because here's the thing. She, before she made the statement that Alexis has treated her better than any black man she's ever dated, she made a comment prior to that, like in the same interview, that she does not see color. So for me, if you do not see color, then why are you saying that Alexis treats you better than any black man that you've ever dated? What I would have preferred her to say is Alexis treats me better than any man that I've ever dated, because that would be reflective of your prior statement that you do not see color, which leads me to believe that she does see color and that she is saying that white men treat black, or maybe not treat black women in general, maybe, but white men treat her better than any black men that she's ever dated. I feel like that's what you really take from that. And I think that that's why it's a little, you have to be careful when you make statements. And she's a person just like all of us. So, you know, I don't know if this was a prepped interview. You know, maybe she wasn't prepped for this interview and she was just saying what was on her heart and how she feels. And I can't knock her for that. But I think that, you know, although we try to say that celebrities, you know, at the end of the day, they are people just like us. Yes, that is true. And they have their own feelings. They're entitled to their own feelings and they're entitled to their way of life. But when you are in the public eye and you know that you have little girls and you know, other women of color who are looking at you as some sort of role model and some sort of spokesperson for the community, you do have to be a little careful as to the way you say things because of the way that things will be misinterpreted, i.e. this particular situation that sent a lot of people up in arms. Now, I will say this though. I have never dated a white man in my life. I don't know if that will ever be an experience that I will ever have, but I do know many women who have dated and have married white men, and that has been their experience. Their experience, and I've had people actually comment on the social media posts, they have said that that is their experience, that white men do treat black women better than black men do. And I feel like I've even seen it with my own eyes, to be very honest. Now, I don't know why that is. I feel like, although, you know, people are saying, oh, generalizations, this, generalizations, that, there are some teeth to this comb. I feel like there is something about it, but I don't know what it is. My idea, which is not applied to everybody, I'm not trying to make a general statement, but one of the ideas that I had when I thought about why is it that white black men or black women feel like white men treat them better or whatever. I think in some cases with white men, it's this whole, like, I find that sometimes white people are afraid of black people. Again, not all of them. And that it wouldn't shock me if a white guy dating a black woman, especially, you know, in an age where racism is still prevalent, racism is still around, you're kind of walking on eggshells a little bit. And sometimes you might feel like you know, you're not your true self and your authentic self when you're in that relationship. And so you're kind of acquiescing and you're kind of like deferring to the black woman because you don't want to say anything offensive. You don't want to do anything offensive. And so maybe this type of deference is what some people see as, you know, treating them better. I mean, I don't know. And then you have the group of white men who have always wanted an experience with a black woman. You know, they've always had this jungle fever thing going on. And so therefore it's like when they have their black Nubian queen or princess, they go extra with it. And that I question the genuineness of that, because are you just looking to experience a black woman? Are you looking to like have some sort of black token? Like, what are you doing? I've seen that happen as well too, where the white guy is just so obsessed, not with the woman herself, but with the fact that she is black, and they're obsessed with the blackness, and they're like infatuated and they're so like curious and they're so like intrigued by the black woman, but not necessarily the woman herself. And so maybe in that sense, some of you might have seen or experienced the white men treating the black woman better in that particular context. But again, for me, I question the genuineness about it. Like, do you want me because I'm black? Or you want me because I'm Rita Pierre? So I really don't know. Like, I feel like it's something that we should investigate. And I know some people are like, oh, we're over this debate. Well, we can't be over it because it's still something that people want to talk about. And my comment section on both of my social medias is proof that people have opinions and people still want to talk about it. So it's not like a dead debate. I just think that it needs to be a structured discussion, right? It can't just be blanket statements and people just throwing out their, you know, spilling out their emotions and vomiting whatever they want to say. I think that there should really be like a look at it. Like, okay, black women, you feel like white men treat you better. Why is that? Explain, articulate to us. Why do you believe that white men treat you better? And same thing goes for black women who think that black men treat white women or Latino women better. Why do you believe that black men treat white women and Latina and pretty much any woman who's not black better? Why is that? I think maybe if we have those type of structured conversations, maybe we might come to some sort of level of understanding. I don't know. But that was just to clarify the Serena thing, because you guys were up in arms. And I wish I had more time to talk about it. I might talk about this issue on a later show with a guest, with a male guest, which was the plan today. But again, it didn't happen. You know, I had to improvise a little bit. But that was that. But either way, everybody, it is a wrap for According to RP. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Again, happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there. Especially shout out to my singletons who are out there. Definitely celebrate for yourselves. For those of you who are in relationships who have not gotten a Valentine's gift as of yet, it is now 8-something. You still have a couple of hours to run to CVS. Go get your significant other a gift, or else you will probably be canceled by the morning. All right, everyone. Again, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday. I can't wait to come back.